If you do have your Bibles next to you, and I hope that you do, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 through 12 together, and I think this will help us properly put in perspective what we'll be talking about this morning. Matthew chapter 5, and starting in verse 1, is a very popular section of Scripture, very well-known section of Scripture, but I want us to look at it with fresh eyes this morning. So if you could, please, let's open Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was seated with his disciples, came to him. And there he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those that are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. For rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so do they persecute the prophets who were before you." In this scripture, what we commonly refer to as the Beatitudes. But I want us to take our time and focus our attention on a specific beatitude that is found in verse 6. I really think this is the linchpin of the entire passage. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. If you notice, the Bible says, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I do think what we find here is the linchpin of all the other Beatitudes, that this one hangs, this is foundational to all the others. I think this one is primary in its purpose and its function. I think the other ones can come in as a result of this, if you will. And so I want to spend our time focusing in on this thing. Will you bow your heads and our hearts and just pray with me for this brief moment? Father, we come to you this morning rejoicing that another year has ended, and yet we look forward to another year beginning. And Lord, we long for our lives to not make a dent, but to make a difference. But yet, Lord, we come to you confessing that sometimes we don't even know what that looks like. We want our lives to be meaningful and to impact others for Christ, and yet to be impacted by Christ ourselves. And sometimes in the muck and the mire and the busyness of the work week in our lives, we miss this vital truth. And so, Lord Jesus, as we say goodbye to 2018, as we say hello to 2019, we pray that this time, this moment, for us as individuals and for our church at Mosaic, would be a paradigm shift of moving further, farther, faster for the glory of God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we talked about this text, and as we explored a couple of thoughts here, I wanted to just give you, I want you guys to understand how it's possible for you to have a blessed life. What is the formula, if you will, for a blessed life? I think we find it here in our text. I think it's very powerful. Now, before we start talking about this formula, if you will, notice I say a formula for a blessed life, not necessarily a happy life. Now, maybe if you look back at 2018, maybe it was a great year for you. Maybe 2018 was one of the best years ever, and that's wonderful. Maybe it's one of the happiest moments and seasons of life that you've ever experienced. That's great. But happiness is fleeting. Happiness is very circumstantial. Happiness doesn't necessarily we can't look forward to it. We look forward to it, but we can't really trust it. We can't rely upon it. We certainly can't bank on it. We can't plan on it, because happiness is always attached to a circumstance, a happenstance, if you will. So this morning, I want to give you something that does not depend on what happens to you or around you through the new year in 2019. I'd rather give you some things that are going to make you not just have a happy new year, but to have a blessed new year. And being blessed goes far beyond your circumstances. And that's what we find in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. All these Beatitudes are powerful and are important. But again, I do believe that in verse 6, it's distinct. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Now, let's just think about that thought for just a moment. And let me give you our first formula in this formula for a blessed life in 2019. And that is simply this. Number one, desire Jesus preeminently. Desire Jesus preeminently. Now, when the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, what it's really saying is, blessed are those that do, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. But the Bible says that Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. So to seek righteousness, you must first seek Jesus. That to seek Jesus, do you seek his righteousness? You have to be able to seek him in order to have his righteousness. And so I want to say to you in this coming year, I want you to take all your desires and let all your desires, as many as you have, let them all be subjugated to one basic desire, and that is that you desire Jesus preeminently. You know, a lot of times the word desire has gotten a bad rap. Sometimes as Christians, we've made desire to be something that is evil, that is something harmful. But friends, let me help you understand something. Desire is essential to our Christian lives. I think a good way to describe desire is that desire is not necessarily good or evil. It's what it's attached to that can make it problematic, or can make it very powerful and be a blessing. Look at it this way. Desire is the fuel that drives the engine of your life. Now, if you think about that session, if you're looking for a car, we're going on a journey or destination or vacation, if you will, you can have a great engine. I mean, you can have a Dodge Charger with a Hemi engine and have it all souped up and have it all ready to go. But if you don't have fuel, that beautiful car is just, it's a, you know, 5,000 pound paperweight. It doesn't do anything. You know, fuel is what fires the engine, if you will. Now, think about that. If fuel isn't necessarily per se dangerous, it can be dangerous, but it also has a very clear purpose. It's what fires the engine to take you where you want to go. Now, depending on where the direction that vehicle is pointed, will determine if it's going off a cliff, that's dangerous. If it's going to where you want to go, then that's a good thing. But the fuel is what fires the engine to get it there, to get you down the road. Without it, you're not going anywhere. Friends, it's not enough just to believe the right things. It's not enough just to behave properly. You have to desire things. And the reality is our desires usually are so satisfied by so many lesser things. The problem, I believe, in Christians is not that we desire too much, is we desire too little. We're content with just baser things of spirituality rather than the full promise and inheritance of what Christ has offered to us. desire is what fuels your life as a Christian, as a believer, to move you further, farther, faster for the glory of our great King and for the good of mankind around you. So when you look in your tank, what is your desire fuel gauge, if you will, read right now? Just think about it for a moment. Think about 2018. Think about this last, during this Christmas season. And do you really, Christmas ought to be a time where we're more fired up than we've ever had before. I mean, realistically, celebrating the coming of our great King, which we have done this Christmas, if done properly, then there's our fuel gauge, our desire gauge should be like pegged out on full. I think what we find most times, though, is most Christians come to the end of the holiday season, like this week what we have right here, suffering from a spiritual hangover. And they find that their desire gauge is on E, not on full. Desire Him. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The promise is also provisional and conditional for those who will desire. You have to long to know Him. So one of the best ways is, one, just to get honest with ourselves and realize that maybe a prayer for us in 2018 is just to be honest with where we're at and say, Lord, I don't desire You preeminently. But Lord, I'm asking You to help me, long to desire You preeminently. I don't desire You completely, but I do long to desire You completely. And so we realize that when we talk about blessed that hunger and thirst for righteousness, usually the contrast is given is that we're not very hungry, we're not very thirsty for righteousness, and therefore that understanding of our present condition can also be turned to a prayer for deliverance. Lord, make me hungry. Lord, make me thirsty. In John chapter 7 and verse 37, it says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which has not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. This conditional promise is more than just the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. It's referring here to the filling of the Holy Spirit, the infilling, if you will. But we must desire Him preeminently, not just in addition to our lives, not just a good resource when things get hard, but Jesus, Lord, may in 2019, may You be the one and only thing that I am preeminently and passionately concerned about. Lord, in all things that You might have the preeminence. We went over this in Colossians chapter 1 and 18. In all things that He might have the preeminence. Not just to be predominant, the one above many, but preeminent, the one and only. So I want this coming year for you to desire Him, to long for Him. May He fill you, and may the desire to know Him personally and intimately drive you, as it did the Apostle Paul, where he said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Oh, this year we may hunger and after the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one in this formula for a blessed life this year is to desire Him preeminently. Number two, I want you to think about this and to seek Jesus purposefully. Not only is it enough to desire Him preeminently, we must seek Him purposely. I want you to think about what this is. It's not enough just to have desire. If you really desire him, if you really hunger for Jesus, you're going to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, he was taking the two most basic things in life we need, food and water. And he was saying that as we spend so much time in our lives just to make certain that we have these basic things in life, we are to seek Jesus with that same type of intensity and focus, determination. Now, according to some of the research that I've done, is that a man can live without food for about 40 days. He can live without water for about 3 days. All right. They're saying that the average human can live between 5 and 8 minutes without air, without oxygen. But you can't live 10 seconds without Jesus. We must seek him purposefully. Now, one of the things that a man knows when he's in a starving condition or in a difficult circumstance is that his interests are greatly narrowed during those times of starvation, if you will. Now, I remember going through jungle warfare survival training and going through this type of training in the military for special operations. And it's interesting that all the things that you think about, that you're caring about, that you're purposeful about, when you haven't eaten in 2 or 3 days, all of a sudden, none of those things are even on the radar. I remember going 2 days without food, and then the only thing I was thinking about was my next snare that was going to be able to catch a squirrel so that I could eat something or so that I could eat anything, you know. It really, really begins to drive you. It narrows down what you spend your time on during those times when you are focused on just eating and drinking. If you've ever been really thirsty or gone without water for a day or so, you'll realize that this also becomes the driving focus of your life. Where can I get water? Nothing else really matters except where water can be found. The reality is if we're going to see God show up in our lives in a very miraculous and intimate way, we must be purposeful about that. You know, a lot of times I think people think desire is enough. You know, and desire is so important. We talked about it. It's huge. It's the fuel that drives us. But just having fuel doesn't get you where you need to go. You need to know how to get there. You need to be purposeful about what it means to pursue Jesus. You know, and the reality is this doesn't happen by accident. You know, a lot of times people want to have a powerful life. They want to have all these things, but they're not willing to pursue them. So let me give you just some practical things about how to pursue him purposefully. You've heard this before, but I think it's bears worth repeating of wanting to do anything in our lives that's meaningful is have SMART goals. We talked about dreaming big things, but be smart about those dreams. So the word SMART is an acronym. I want to give that to you. It's very popular. You've heard it before. It's not original with me. But SMART, specific. Have specific goals. All right. Now, that is, you have to be intentional about, direct about what you want and where you want to go. All right. M, measurable. Okay. It's not enough just to have a generalized idea. We must know specifically and have measurable responses so that we can know how, whether or not we're accomplishing what we want, be purposeful what we're accomplishing. Let's say if someone had a goal of, I want to be fit, or I want to get in shape. Well, that's not very specific, nor does it, I mean, how do you even measure that? What does that even look like? You know, it's going to be very hard for you to move forward to in your fitness goals, if you will, if that's what it is, when you have that as what's driving you. It's very, very subjective that's out there. You're not going to be able to see that very clearly. So here's the deal. All right. So instead of saying, I want to be fit, you would say something like this. I want to lose 10 pounds, or I want to run a 5K, or whatever it is. Just saying this as an example. You need to be specific. I want to do this for this reason. And then it's measurable. Like I have a particular goal that I want, all right? And now what I don't want to do is, and this is the third one, is it's achievable. I can't say I want to lose 50 pounds in 3 weeks, all right? That's not achievable. Or I want to run a marathon in 4 weeks. That's not very achievable. So you want to make sure that your goals are specific, they're measurable, but they're also achievable, all right? And that the fourth thing is that they're relevant. Make sure the goals that you set for yourself actually are relevant to your lot in life, of where you're at. And the last one is timely. You want to be able to measure those things in a timely fashion so that you have something to bracket your goals in. Now, I gave you the example of fitness, but realistically, this SMART acronym applies to spiritual goals that we want to go through. Let's say we want to read through the Bible in a year. Maybe you've never done that before. It's a great goal to have. Well, that's something very specific. It's something awesome, measurable, and it's certainly relevant and has a timely manner to it, and it is achievable. Now, if you said, I want to read through the Bible every 30 days, now that can happen. You can do that. But is that realistic? Is that going to be really achievable? Are you going to be able to dedicate an hour a day, 2 hours a day to reading scripture? If you can, great. If you can't, then make sure it's achievable in what you set forward. You know, that's so important in moving forward in your spiritual life. Do things that are purposeful. Now, here's the application. You tell me that you want to walk with Jesus in 2019, more so than you did in 2018. Great. What does that mean? Be specific. Does that mean that your relationship with your husband or your wife needs to be improved upon? The intimacy in your marriage needs to work better? Or maybe one of your goals is you like to have a better marriage. See, that's not very specific. You got to be specific. What you mean by that is, in 2019, I would like for my wife and I not to have any more yelling arguments. All right, now that's something that's specific. And by the way, that is achievable. But work through it and understand very clearly of what you want and why you want those things. How that will move you forward to seek the glory of the Lord in your life, whether it's your family, it's your children, whatever it is that you're asking God to work through for His glory, not for your own good, but for His glory. Work through those things in a very specific manner. This is where coaching is so important, and discipleship is so important. And by the way, everyone needs a coach, including me. Everyone needs to be discipled, including me. You guys need these things. We need these things. We all need these things. These are things you should be talking through with your brother or sister in Christ so that they can keep you accountable to those things. They can help you with these things. But be specific. Be purposeful about what that means. Now, a lot of times people give New Year's resolutions a bad rap. But to be honest with you, I really like them. I really love New Year's resolutions. I think they're very powerful things. And I encourage people to get them, to have them. But you have to be purposeful about it, or they'll be like most of your resolutions. They'll come in, they'll go out, and by April, you'll have completely forgotten about them. I long for you, Mosaic, for 2019, for this to be a year that you move forward in your spiritual life. So how do we do that? First, we love Jesus preeminently. We desire Him preeminently. We seek Jesus purposefully. And thirdly, in closing, just this as this thought to close out the year of 2018, don't forget this one. This is a real formula for having a blessed year. Enjoy Jesus perpetually. enjoy Jesus perpetually. The chief pursuit of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You know, the reality is this idea of being blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, is the idea of being completely satisfied. It's like pulling away from the dinner table at Christmas dinner and saying, no more, I am full. I can't have it anymore. When's the last time in your life you sought Jesus so preeminently and pursued him perpetually and purposefully that you had to say, Lord, I can't take it anymore. Stop. I've handled all the blessings you could possibly give me. The reality is that's just not a lofty idea. That's a promise from God's word. They that seek him shall know him, shall be filled, and shall be satisfied. So my wish for you, Mosaic, in 2019, is wrapped up in a couple of verses. I'll just give these to you. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Trust in the living God, who giveth to us richly all things, notice this, to enjoy. To enjoy. Did you get that? To enjoy. We want to enjoy Jesus perpetually in 2019. Or again in Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. My third verse I thought about was Psalm 107 and verse 9. It says, he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Wow, that's powerful. Church, I pray daily and perpetually that your life is blessed. That 2019 is a blessed year for you as an individual and for ours as a church. But the formula for seeing that blessing come down upon our lives, it's not difficult. Well, I say it is difficult. It isn't complicated. It's very simple. Desire Jesus preeminently. Seek Jesus purposefully. And enjoy Jesus perpetually. God bless you as you seek and serve and enjoy him this year. Let's celebrate 2019 with a great coming in and a great expectation of what God is going to do.